This is our fifth week into our sermon series, Encounters with Christ. Today's story is unique in that we meet someone who is not an Israelite. Our story today is a simple story about faith, a simple story that shows us how powerful our faith can be. Our story is found in both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, but we will start with the story as told by Luke. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people who were listening, he entered into Capernaum. There a centurion servant, whom his master highly valued, was sick and about to die. So here we're introduced to two people, a centurion and a servant. Most scholars believe the centurion was a Roman centurion. First of all, this means he is not an Israelite. Being from Rome, and especially being a part of the Roman army, this centurion would have believed in pagan gods. Worshipping the pagan gods of Rome was a requirement for members of the Roman army. The Romans strongly believed that loyalty to their gods was very important to their success. This is a very important part to this story, and a very important part to the early story of Christianity. This Roman centurion was expected to worship the Roman gods and only the Roman gods. As a centurion, this man was the leader of a detachment in the region, and this was not an easy job. The detachment did not have the support of the entire Roman army. This detachment had three primary responsibilities. Number one, they were Rome's authoritative presence in the region. Their presence alone was usually enough to keep order in the region. This detachment was responsible for responding to any internal threat, such as a civil uprising within the region. And finally, this detachment was the first line of defense against any invaders from outside the Roman borders. These men were expected to literally fight to the death if needed to stop any threat until reinforcements would arrive. The Roman Empire would have a lot of trust in this centurion to hold true to his responsibilities and maintain this garrison to Roman standards. He would need to be an effective leader and a politician. The second person we meet is the servant. The servant was highly valued to this Roman centurion, and he was very sick and about to die. The story in Matthew adds that the servant was paralyzed and suffering terribly. And given the important position the centurion had, having a hardworking and loyal servant from the region was very important. And the scripture goes on to say, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Now, at first read, you might think they are saying the servant deserves this. But the elders are not talking about the servant here. They are saying the Roman centurion was the one who deserves this. The centurion appeared to have a great respect and even a love for the faithful people of this community, even helping them build a synagogue. This centurion was obviously influenced by the faith of the servants and the faith of this community. The Jews were under the rule of the Romans, but by continuing to live out their faith, they had won the favor of the centurion. Another interesting note that, unlike other stories we have looked at, there doesn't seem to be any opposition to Jesus in Capernaum, especially by the Jewish elders, as they are the first messengers to reach Jesus. Not only do they acknowledge their beloved friend, but the elders also demonstrate they had faith that Jesus had the power to heal their friend. And the elders were convincing enough that it says Jesus went with them. And on it goes, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So the centurion sends additional messengers in addition to the Jewish elders. And here in this passage, we see three things. One, we see the humility of the centurion, as he does not see himself worthy to have Jesus visit him. This is an acknowledgement of the greatness of Jesus. Two, we see a further acknowledgement of Jesus' greatness when the centurion states that Jesus is a man also under authority. Now, implied in this comment, the centurion is recognized that Jesus is under the authority of God. It is only by that power that Jesus has the order to give commands, is under the authority of God. And three, the final acknowledgement of his greatness is that the centurion believes that Jesus is so great that he needs only to command the healing and it will happen. He says, Jesus, you don't even need to come. Just say it and it will happen. I have that faith that it will happen. Now, for someone who is not a Jew, for someone who was expected to worship and pay homage to pagan gods, this centurion sees Christ's authority and power. And as we continue in the story, verse 9 says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent out, returned to the house and found the servant well. I mean, what a great miracle by Christ, right? Without even seeing the servant, without any great commands, the man was healed because of one thing, faith. What we see in this counter, faith leading to faith. We had a faithful servant, a faithful Jewish community that not only lived out their lives in faith to God, but they had faith in Jesus Christ. While many in the Jewish community rejected Jesus, even the elders spoke of Jesus. They talked about Jesus. They had conversations about Jesus, the faithful servant and the faith of this community, and they're speaking about Christ, allowed the Roman centurion to hear about Christ. And what did he say? We need Jesus. Because faith leads to faith. This community and their faith was a great and powerful witness to the Roman centurion. Because of their faith, their enemy became their friend. Doesn't that sound nice in today's world? Because of their faith, their enemy built them a place of worship. Because of their faith, the centurion saw Jesus as a healer. And because of his faith, the servant was saved. People, the way we live matters. Our witness matters. Paul writes in Colossians 3 that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, whatever you do, wherever you go, you can be a witness to your faith. It doesn't matter if you're going to a job, a trip to the store, or even a visit to the doctor. Be a faithful witness for God. Peter writes this, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. I think we need to read that one again, because I think we need to really understand we are in a war. To abstain from sinful desires which wage war against our souls. And Peter says we are to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. We are in a real war, and the war is against sin. And when we let sin run our lives, when we allow the world to dictate how we should act instead of God dictating how we act, we cannot be faithful witnesses for God. We must rid ourselves of sin and live in such a way that people see our faith. And even if they think our faith is stupid, they go, wow, these are good people. Especially when they see that our faith has the power to conquer sin. And back to Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see, the world is pushing back against us. The world is condemning true Christian values. The world now embraces and celebrates ungodly ways. And we as Christians must stand firm and let nothing move us. Let nothing shake our faith. And Jesus said this early in his ministry, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If the world does not see the light of Christ through us, where then will they see it? I've said this many times. You may be the only source of God's love that someone may ever experience. Your faith may be the only genuine faith they ever see. I had a friend in grade school. I've told this story before. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He thought it was silly that I got up on Sunday mornings and went to church. He thought it was silly I would read my Bible and do all these other things. And he said, why do you do it? And I said, let me tell you this. If all the things I've done are not real and there is no God, I've lived a good life. I've treated people with fairness and love and kindness. But if you're wrong and there is a God, you've lost everything. We were about 10 years old. 20 years later, he finds Christ. And he's a youth leader in his church. And he sent me a note on Facebook. He says, I never forgot what you told me. That faithful witness was powerful. And I've also told the story of our friend Sarah, who went through some awful, tragic things, a horrible divorce, and many other things. And we were just her friend, and we loved her, and we loved her, and we loved her. And a few years later, she remarried, and at the wedding, she came up to me and said, thank you for making today possible. And I wasn't a preacher then. I didn't do her wedding. I just showed up, you know. What did I do? And she said, the way you loved your wife showed me that I could be loved again. You showed me what a godly husband should look like. And because of that, I had hope that I could love again and I could be married. I didn't do anything extra. I didn't run around spouting out gospel verses. I didn't run around with big signs saying you're going to hell. I just lived my life out faithfully by God. I stood firm when I was questioned about my faith, but I lived my faith, and through my faith, people were affected. And you see, finally, at the end of his time on earth, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. We've all heard this many times. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have a great obligation to live by faith, to proclaim the name of Jesus and lead others to salvation in Jesus Christ. The best witness you can be is just simply living out your faith every single day. For just as we saw in our story today, faith leads to faith. You need to let your light shine, people. You need to not be ashamed of what you believe and whom you believe in. We need to stand up for the Holy Scriptures. We need to stand up for godly lives. But here's the key factor. When people see that your faith makes a difference in your life, that's when your faith will make a difference in their lives. Because if they don't see Jesus in you, if they don't see going to church makes a difference, if they don't see reading the Bible makes a difference, if they don't see your prayer makes a difference, then your faith will not make a difference in their lives. But when in your life you're reading your Bible, in your life you're going to church, in your life you're praising God, in your life you're saying, oh my gosh, God answered prayers. Oh my goodness, did you see how many children we had and what fun they had? They learned you can have fun in church. They learned you can love God and get good snacks. All right. It is through your faithful witness that they are going to see that faith matters. If they don't see your faith, they're going to find out that basketball matters. They're going to find out that the sports matters. They're going to find out that politics matters. They're going to find out everything else about your life. They're going to find out what really matters to you. Are you going to live your life to show that your faith is what matters? Or are you going to live your life to say the world matters? Because if you invite somebody to get up for church on a Sunday morning when they can sit on their back porch drinking coffee right now, they're going to say, why should I go to church? Why does it make a difference? Why? Why should I give up my time, my money, my energy, or anything to go to church with you on Sunday morning? They shouldn't have to ask that question. They shouldn't have to ask that question. They should see every day in your life, your faith matters. And we saw it in that story today. A faithful servant in a faithful community that believed Jesus was the Messiah, that believed he could be the good healer. And what happened? A man from Rome who believed in conquering, who believed in Roman gods, who believed in pagan gods, who believed in the greatness of Rome, realized that he had no power to heal this man. There was only one person that could do it. There was only one person that could bring salvation. And that was Jesus Christ. And that was because of loyal, faithful witnesses. This man was a loyal servant. He did work hard. He did everything, not for the glory of the Roman soldier, but he worked hard for the glory of God. And that guy saw this guy's work is because of his faith. This guy works hard because he loves God. This guy is true to his faith. This guy needs a place to worship. I'm going to build him a temple. Imagine that. When people see the good things that we can do, you know what the outside world's going to do? Whoo, we're going to contribute. You're doing great things. People need to see our faith. When people see that our faith makes a difference in our own lives, then our faith will begin to make a difference in their lives. And the question is, how are you going to live your life this week? Are you going to take the precious name of Jesus with you and proclaim that He is your glory, He is your hope, He is your salvation, and that through Him you have eternal life? Let us pray. Mighty God, we see so much evidence of the power of faith. The faith of a servant, the faith of community, and the faith of a centurion. Lord, you are greater than any country, greater than any system, greater than any politics, greater than any sports, greater than anything else that we have in life. And yet, Lord, we often live our lives the same as everyone else. Lord, forgive us for the times that we don't make a difference because we haven't stood firm in our faith. Forgive us for the times when we do not make a difference because of a sin in our lives. Lord, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit to keep ourselves in a right relationship with you, and that through your grace, mercy, love, and the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will give power to our faith, a power that will let faith lead to faith. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to be someone who leads worship or sings. You don't have to even teach Sunday school. You don't even have to be an expert in the Scripture to be a faithful witness. All you have to do is wake up and live it. Because Jesus won't matter to anybody else until Jesus matters to you. Are you willing to take the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, with you today? Are you willing to take Him tomorrow when you go off to whatever appointments or luncheons or whatever you have? Does your hairdresser know that you have faith? Does that server that you visit every week at your favorite restaurant know that you have faith? Does your doctor, does your nurse, does everybody know that faith is core importance to your heart? Because your faithful witness may be exactly the witness they need to find out that Jesus matters, that they need Jesus, and it is only Jesus who can bring the healing they need in their lives, and only Jesus who can give them eternal salvation. Let us go now as God's faithful witnesses, taking the name of Jesus Christ and living such great lives that even people who do not believe see and know who Jesus is, and that Jesus matters to us. And let it be so that you may be glorified and Jesus may matter to them. Let us go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.